Betches Media presents At Betches, a podcast hosted by Betches co-founders Aileen Drexler, Jordana Abraham, and Sammy Sage. Before they were business partners, they were close friends who've known each other since elementary school.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
Get to know the women who've been making us laugh since 2011.
Who allowed you to take my breath away?
This is At Betches.
This is going to be just like senior year, except for funner.
Hello, and welcome back to the At Betches podcast. I'm Aileen.
I'm Jordana.
And I'm Sammy. And today we are talking about everything. We are catching up on a bunch of things. I'm going to tell you about the final day of our trip to California and then some pop culture news. So let's catch up.
Okay.
Did you guys see that movie, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once?
No, but everyone says it's amazing.
So I saw it in the theaters weeks ago. It was very good. It was like
everything
at some points,
all at once.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Why have I not even heard of this?
Probably because every time you read it, you read the title, you might not realize they're talking about a movie because it's kind of.
You might hate it, Jordana. It's, you're watching it, you're like, what the fuck am I watching? And then, like, there comes a point when you're like, wow, this
it's everything
is
everywhere all at once.
Good movie. Yeah, like when you realize what it means, the whole like meaning of the movie, you're like, oh, wow. And then you like experience real emotions. I can't explain it.
Why wouldn't I like it? What's it about?
I can't get into it. Okay. It's about like, it's like sort of like, it's not a satire, but it is a satire. It takes the concept of the multiverse.
Is it like The Big Short? Because you know I don't like that.
It's not like The Big Short in any way. But it's, it takes the concept of like the multiverse, like how there's a parallel like universe and you're a different person in like different paths take. You take a different path in every like universe and how those like collide. I feel like in order for the person to make this movie, you had to have been so high. But then the actual movie itself, like it's just like, wow, this like makes a lot of sense. It's really touching.
Who's in the movie?
It has Michelle Yeoh and Jamie Lee Curtis. Jenny Slate has a small role, but it's like a good movie. Anyway.
I only watch movies where Jenny Slate has a big role.
Yeah, I know. Do you watch the one on Prime?
The Summer I Turned Pretty?
No. It's Jenny Slate movie on Prime.
Oh, no.
The rom-com. I guess I don't only watch
movies
where Jenny Slate has a big role.
It's with Charlie Day and Jenny Slate, and it's like sort of like a rom-com. Like they're trying to make rom-coms cool.
I did see that, yeah.
It was cute.
That was a cute movie.
She was cute in it. Chris Evans was in it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and the guy breaks up with her in the opening scene.
Yeah.
Chris Evans. Yeah.
No, not Chris Evans. But not Chris Evans. That was her boyfriend in real life that broke up with
her. I want you back.
Yeah.
On
Who's
Prime.
The guy? Scott Eastwood.
I think. Yes.
Yes.
The trailer looks sort of like White Lotus-y, and also it just looks like your old classic rom-com that it just looks so good. I hope it lives up to as good as the trailer was.
Speaking of things that are teased pretty well, I'm very excited for this Barbie movie. I feel like
yes.
Every time I see a picture from it, I'm like, I want to see the movie. Whatever they're doing, whatever pictures they're leaking in a very slow, steady way are making me very excited to see the movie.
I was watching Evan Ross Katz's Instagram stories and he like showed like a little clip of it and it was like a video of a take of Ryan Gosling, like screaming. And then Evan like alluded to the fact that actually like Ryan, like Ken is gay.
Okay. I figured.
Oh, interesting.
Because I know it's like a new take on Barbie.
He's like, yeah. Greta Gerwig's Ken is clearly, he's like sort of like alluded to it. And I thought that was funny.
That makes a lot of sense. It also like, I don't understand what they're going to have the plot of the Barbie movie be. Like, does she become a doctor and then a lawyer and then a firefighter? Like, what
we'll
is
see.
Barbie?
I feel like
doing
I've been hearing about this movie for so long. Wasn't originally like Amy Schumer going to be Barbie and then they changed it?
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, there was like a whole controversy over her being Barbie like years ago. Like, I've been hearing about this like random information about this movie a while ago. Clearly, she is not Barbie and it's Margot Robbie.
I mean, if there was ever anyone to play Barbie,
it's Margot Robbie,
it's definitely Margot Robbie.
But I'm saying it was going to be like a new take on, you know, on like, so I think it was part of that, but whatever.
This morning, I almost got sucked into watching this new show that popped up on my like Apple TV banner. This it's morning. Called Loot.
It's so fun. I watched it last night.
I watched
the first
Loot.
Episode last night.
I watched all three last on Friday.
Oh, I didn't. This was the first I saw of it and it showed up on my screen and I was like about to turn on like my MSNBC app. But then I was like, wait, what is this movie? Loot? Or is it? I assumed it was a movie, but it's a show. And my remote's broken. I tried to watch 5 minutes of it before this, but
what a great review.
So later, I'm going to watch that, but it looks so good.
I Googled the shit out of it and I watched it so far.
I've only seen the first episode. It was cute.
Why was this not like advertised?
I don't know. In LA, I saw billboards for it. That's when I heard of it. And then I saw it on my Apple TV.
I must have been looking at my phone.
It's done by the guys from Parks and Rec. And it's based on, like, I think the premise is, what's the Amazon guy's
name?
She
inherits Bezos's, her money.
Bezos's wife. Bezos. Yeah. It's based, like, it's a fictional story, obviously, but, like, the premise is she finds out her husband, who's a tech billionaire, cheats on her, and she has now all this money. But in this, she's kind of a little bit vapid in the beginning, and it's just, like, her figuring out her way.
It's funny, I assume. Based on
it feels like it could have been a movie. Like, I don't know if I need a whole series about it from watching episode one.
On episode three, there's one funny scene that I was cracking up. But it's so far, it's like, ha, funny. But you know in Parks and Rec, it gets really funny? Like, it's not hilarious in
your face
up front.
I didn't watch Parks and Rec, actually.
The fuck are you guys doing?
I know. I
watched some episodes.
I know that's a gap for me.
The early episodes are great.
I was just talking to someone about Parks and Rec and why it's like good, but it's not The Office.
Totally, not The
Office. Why? What's your theory? Yeah.
My issue with Parks and Rec, I think I've talked to Sean about this on an At Betches episode where you were both gone. My issue with Parks and Rec is that like they should have kept Leslie Knope being super annoying. In the first season, she was like sort of the joke. She was like the Michael Scott. And then they made her into like, oh, she's like everyone now thinks she's normal and like empowering and whatever. And I was just like, I'm not interested in that way that like everyone in the world looking at her.
That's what happened with Pam in The Office.
No, Pam was always normal though. She was just, she got a little too confident.
That's what I'm saying. You don't like empowered women.
It wasn't that she was confident though. It was that everyone was like, in the beginning, it was like she was annoyingly confident. She was like annoying. Yeah. She was like very eager in someone I would find annoying. And everyone else was like, yeah, this woman's annoying. As they move it into season two and beyond, everyone suddenly like is thinking of her as super legit.
The Chris Pratt early seasons is hilarious. Late seasons, he's not.
Weddings are all about the bride and groom, but we all know they're a chance to look your best too. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though suits start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed guest with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and be ready for wedding season. Design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, and more. Get a bespoke look without the premium price tag. Suits starting at $499 and fitted shirts at just $89. You can get a tailored fit from home by setting up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Or opt for a premium in-person experience. Book an appointment at a showroom near you and let an Indochino style guide walk you through every step. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code BETCHES to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code BETCHES.
Speaking of Chris Pratt, did you read his interview in Men's Health? I was very entertained by it. It's not supposed to be that interesting.
No.
Can you give us some highlights?
No, but I also watched Evan Ross Katz's stories about Chris Pratt.
So Chris Pratt basically gave this interview to, I believe it was Men's Health. And do you remember that picture that he posted of Katherine Schwarzenegger and he made this caption and everyone was like,
as if like ripping
on it. And it was kind of absurd. So he references like that whole controversy around that picture and says like, you know, he was crying about it and everyone says he's religious, but he's not religious. The whole article is about he doesn't understand why everyone hates him.
Is that how he pitched it to Men's Health? He's like, I want to do an interview on why everyone hates me.
It seemed like his publicist was not there for the interview, which is always the best interview. he was like, my publicist is not going to want me to say this, but
he said that.
I'm going to come whenever they say that, you know, and he's like, I don't want this to get, you know, blown up. And then obviously I saw versions of it.
That were blown more. How did I not see this?
It's going to come out more.
Basically, he was saying like, I think to me, the interview was basically showing the Chris Pratt like identity crisis because, you know, he starts in Parks and Rec or he starts earlier. He starts in Everwood. But he grew up like kind of poor. He had his dad always kind of used to make fun of him because he was a sensitive guy and his dad like didn't want him to be sensitive. So he had a bad relationship with his dad who wasn't really into what he was doing. He left home and he moved to Maui and he was like kind of living out of his truck. And then he gets discovered and he's in Everwood. And then he gets into this known for role, which was the Parks and Rec guy. But then he realizes that, you know, he's a little chubby. So he's not getting the other roles. And then he decides, you know, he's going to redo his whole physical appearance and try to be like the superhero guy, which he did pretty well. He was with Anna Faris, kind of dumps her, goes out with Catherine. He doesn't really talk about her. Like, really, he talks a little bit about Catherine. He talks a little bit about having Arnold Schwarzenegger as his father-in-law. And sort of his own rags to riches story of being poor. And now he's married to, you know.
Yeah. But also he became successful.
He became successful and then broke up with Anna. Anna?
But he was successful when he started dating her. Like he was in Parks
A different type of successful. He went Marvel successful.
Right.
The vibe that I got from this interview is like he's a little bit of like a climber. And has a little bit of an identity crisis is basically what I was getting.
I mean, the fact that he says he's not religious is hilarious because
he's like, I'm not even religious. I don't know why everyone hates me.
He belongs to a very, very religious church. And like he says that it's not that religious, but so this is
they address this in the interview.
Because you look at the pictures that he posts about God, he posts a picture of like the sunrise talking about like Jesus. Like he's not religious at all.
That's why I'm saying it doesn't really seem like he knows what he is. And then when people were upset that he was part of this church that was like anti-gay and had a bunch of
Page made a tweet
called
about
him
it.
Out. Yeah. I think they mentioned all of this in the thing. And he was basically like, I'm not even that religious. And then the interviewer was like, why didn't you just say that you're not part of the church? If you're saying now that you're not part of the church, but at the time you were saying like the church doesn't believe that, but now you're saying, he was like calling him out. That's what I'm saying. There seemed like there was no PR rep there.
I cannot wait to read this.
I just thought it was very interesting. And then he was like, I'm a very sensitive guy. And when I posted that picture and it was like taken the wrong way, I was crying for a really long time. I don't know. It was just like kind of bizarre. He's like, and my son, you know, my son's 9 and he's going to read that and it's on the internet forever. He didn't really address, like, he was basically saying like the whole post was like kind of a joke.
People, he's never going to be in like good favor of the world besides the world for women because he left his, like, when he got really successful, he left
and
his,
really and toned.
Like, yeah, he went from Parks and Rec Chris Pratt to like Jurassic Park Chris Pratt. And he dumps his hilarious wife and gets with a younger girl.
Richer.
Like that story, Richer has like a very successful family. That story is never going to like bode well with like women en masse.
It's also like he fell into the trap of being like one of the Chrises in Hollywood. And when you're like one of the 5 Chrises, people are going to compare. And they've given him like, he has some really clear qualities that have landed him in the worst Chris spot. And I think the number one thing is like the anti-LGBT, like the religious stuff. And I was just looking at reminding myself like what he had said. He basically said like, thank you to my wife for like birthing a healthy daughter.
Right, right.
And it's like, so I almost feel that if he figured out sort of like who he is and what he really believes, that he would maybe be able to like remake his image better. Because it seems like a lot of his missteps are due to the fact that he doesn't like really know who he is or like what,
that's
how
what
other
I'm saying.
People are
I think
perceiving
he's following
it.
Along his wife's like footsteps. I think he's just being a little bit too, you know, naive about
I think he doesn't
the
understand
way he
how
portrays himself and his marriage. Like he's not like subtle about it, which is, I mean, it's fine. This is like who you are. This is what you're saying, but you can't be also mad that people hate you.
Right. And also be who you are. Cause he's like, I'm not a religious person. It's just not an accurate statement. So just don't say it.
Well, maybe it is accurate. Here's the thing. Maybe it is accurate. And he should say, I don't really believe in this church. So I don't want to affiliate with it. Got into it for whatever reason.
Did he do a big speech at the church? Something. I read that he like made a big speech during like a high holiday.
If he's part of this church, but he's saying he's not really religious, what do you think the church leaders think about that?
He's also now saying that he's not part of the church. But at the time when Elliot Page called him out, so basically I'm going to read you an excerpt from the, okay, the interview.
That helps.
It says, say what you will about Chris Pratt, but these are bigger ideas. He's openly, whatever. The situation wasn't helped by Pratt's alleged association with the celebrity church Hillsong, whose official policies contain what can be called non-LGBTQ affirming statements. After Pratt casually talked about his faith with Stephen Colbert in 2019, the actor Elliot Page called him out. Pratt issued a statement at the time. It has recently been suggested that I belong to a church which hates a certain group of people and is infamously anti-LGBTQ. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm a man who believes that everyone is entitled to love who they want, free from the judgment of their fellow man. This was in 2019. And then the reporter goes on to say, what he didn't say then and what he tells me now is, I never went to Hillsong. I've never actually been to Hillsong. I don't know anyone from that church.
What?
Okay, why not say that at the time?
Right, that's very like what weird.
Justin Bieber? That's not the same church, is it?
Yes, it is. We should even
do a whole conversation
about Hillsong in general, because that is such a, I mean, I think not another true crime podcast.
Zoe Church is I'll give you the next paragraph. I'm going to like throw it, and then he says, why not say that at the time, the interviewer says. And he says, I'm going to like throw a church under the bus, he replies before reconsidering. It's like that, the Westboro Baptist Church, that's different. No one's suggesting that, but he could have, you know, read up on Hillsong.
I'm so confused. He did go to Hillsong or he didn't go to the Zoe Church? I don't understand.
He says in this interview that he's never been to Hillsong, even though he was like defending it back in the day.
But what was the Zoe Church?
Well, I'm about to tell you. Pratt tells me he attends Zoe Church, but I'm not sure the distinction will satisfy his critics. Zoe, I assume that's how you say it. Zoe. Also popular with celebrities like Justin and Hailey Bieber, was founded by Pastor Chad Veach. He executive produced a 2017 film that equated sexual brokenness with the same-sex attraction. Pratt also mentions that he doesn't go to Zoe exclusively. When it came time for Lila to be baptized, I assume that's his daughter, he and his wife chose a normie Catholic church in Santa Monica where she worshipped as a kid.
Oh my
God. That's what I'm saying. This whole thing is like, he doesn't really feel like he's kind of trying to say what people want him to say, but he doesn't really know what's right to say.
But here's the thing. Can I be honest? I understand why he's upset that he is getting this focus, because Chad Veach officiated Courtney and Travis's wedding. Chad Veach is like Kris Jenner's like a church buddy. So the fact that like Chris Pratt gets all this hate for being associated with it, I see why he's like, why me when like all these other people are associated with it too?
Like people aren't going to forget like that thing that he did. You know, there's always that thing.
I mean, you're entitled to get divorced. Who knows if like that was, it appears.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
the appearance
it appears
of it.
That way.
I think it's interesting that he gets a lot more hate for the religiosity when like people are giving Justin Bieber and Haley, like they're giving them a pass for going to these same exact places with the same values.
Here's another guy, not to add to my personal list, sleeping his way to the top.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My running list.
I don't think he slept his way to the top, though.
The top slept his way to him after he got more famous.
Yeah.
Like, perhaps. And Marvel.
They got together after he became famous. Like, Schwarzenegger isn't getting him his roles. Potentially the church is, but, like, Schwarzenegger's not. Like, he was in Parks and Rec was big, and then he went, like, Jurassic Park, Guardians of the Galaxy, before he was like, oh.
I would say he like traded
my only
up.
Wife and children
by his physical. Well, he had a physical glow up and he got better roles.
Yeah,
probably because of another. Anyway, the whole article is about how he doesn't understand why everyone hates him, which I see a smidge of truth in that. In that he doesn't really seem to be doing anything worse than a lot of other Hollywood people.
Did you guys know he was in the OC for a fourth season?
I feel like I remember. He looks like he would have been in the OC for like a minute.
Like, oh, he was in Moneyball. That was a big role for him. He was the baseball player that like Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill were recruiting in Moneyball. Remember that?
I don't remember that, but yeah. I will go back and watch
and
that.
And then he was in my favorite movie, Zero Dark Thirty.
The Big Short?
Oh. No. That's right. He like got really big movies.
Yeah.
Zero Dark Thirty. That was a big one. Jessica Chastain.
Hard to be a Chris in Hollywood.
Is it really that hard? What about a Ryan?
I think there's only two Ryans, right?
How many Chrises are there? Who are the Chrises?
Three.
Chris
Evans.
Hemsworth, who we saw.
Pratt.
Pratt. It's not that hard.
There's two of them are Marvels. More. Those are like the
They're all in Marvel.
Okay, but the two Chrises who are above him are like the top Chrises in the whole world. I'm sure there's more.
There's another interesting part from this interview where he talks about how he was asked to give a speech at the MTV Movie and TV Awards as the recipient of a Generation Award. And he was instructed to say something inspiring. So he said he spoke from the heart. God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
also said, don't be a turd, but people mostly just remember the God part.
Didn't he?
Exactly. He talks about God a lot.
Say he's not religious? I don't understand. Chris Pine.
Spiritual.
Another Chris.
Chris Pine, but he's
underrated.
I feel like he's like underrated. One of those people who like is having an identity crisis because they grew up very different than they're living now. And they just they're not really sure if they're acting the way they're acting because that's who they are or because this has gotten them to the success that they are. And to me, this whole interview read like a Chris Pratt identity crisis. I'll send you guys the interview after this.
Well, we will keep track of Chris Pratt and his identities, and we'll keep you posted on the next one here at the At Betches podcast.
We've all been there, trying to fit everything we might need for a trip, only to end up with a suitcase bursting at the seams. But with Bass, there's room for everything. 15 pairs of underwear for a weekend trip? No problem. Deciding between a few pairs of shoes? Bring them all with Bass. I love my Bass. I bring it literally everywhere I could possibly need a carry-on bag. And that's because, like I just said, they have thought of everything. I love that my bag expands. And so when I overpack, as I literally do every single time, I don't have to sit on my suitcase anymore to try to squeeze it shut. I can just use the extender. Honestly, makes my life so much easier. It's one less thing to worry about having to contemplate, do I need to bring this? Do I not need to bring it? I can just bring it and have the peace of mind that I have it. And my Bass allows me to do that. So it really just eases my whole peace of mind when traveling. Bass has thought of everything you could ever want in a piece of luggage. 360-degree gliding wheels, a cushioned handle, built-in weight indicator, washable bags for your dirty clothes, and all the interior pockets you need. Their luggage comes in multiple sizes and colors, and for shorter trips, the Weekender bag is super functional and even has a place to store your shoes separately. Every piece is made to look better with miles, so you don't have to worry about it in cargo or overhead. And Bass has over 30,000 five-star reviews. Whether you're packing for a quick trip or looking to breeze through the security line, Bass has your personal items covered. Right now, Bass is offering our listeners 15% off your first purchase by visiting basetravel.com/betches. Go to basetravel.com/betches for 15% off your first purchase. That's BEIS travel.com/betches.
Listen, we all know that scratchy PJs can make a cranky kid. I want my kids to be comfy when they sleep and are rested in the morning, and that's why I snuggle them up in Little Sleepies. Little Sleepies makes award-winning bamboo PJs that moms rave about. I am said mom. I am obsessed with Little Sleepies. They are so, so, so soft. I just got one that was the Checkmates Zippy for my son Lucas. It's so adorable and it's limited edition, so everybody go check it out. Little Sleepies Zip Romper Pajamas, aka Zippies, the ones that I got, were designed with thoughtful details like fold over feet, mittens, and a double zipper to make the middle of the night diaper changes easier. Made from the buttery soft custom milled Luna Luxe bamboo viscose, their zip footy pajamas are gentle on sensitive skin and babies with eczema. But what parents rave about the most? How long they fit. And Little Sleepies makes the best baby shower gift. They have inclusive sizing from preemie to adults 3X. There are also nursing and pregnancy-friendly styles available for adults. So try a pair of Little Sleepies today. Fair warning, you'll never go back. You can try Little Sleepies for yourself by visiting littlesleepies.com. Plus, get 15% off your order on littlesleepies.com with code BETCHES. That's littlesleepies.com with promo code BETCHES. Do you want to talk about Northwest's destination birthday party?
Yes. Yes. Okay, when I saw this, I was like, this seems so normal for Kim Kardashian.
The post party.
No, the party seemed
for Kim. Kind of normal
for Kim. Look, obviously the party is very extravagant. I will say there are New York City business owner mothers who throw parties of equal extravagance for their kids. So
you mean have them go somewhere on a private jet?
Private jet. They set up a little camping place. They bring costumes. They have a whole. They have 65 stations.
You think this is more low key, like a. The Stormy World?
Oh, definitely. But even, I think it's 100% more low-key than Stormy World. Also, what I thought was so interesting was that the post of it was so, like, normal. Like, it felt right. like a just, I mean, normal for
just another birthday. Showing.
But just it just seemed like
another PJ birthday. Okay.
You know what it seemed like? Let's say you have a really rich friend who has a private jet and they throw this party and they're on private. They're going to post that carousel.
The part that was quote unquote normal about it was that it wasn't this, the post itself was very not curated. She took it with her iPhone. Her kids are having fun. Her kids.
She's one of us.
No. That's not what we're saying. Just that the post seemed very like different than her, like her modeling or her like photo shoot, sharing her life in a way that was different than before. Not that it changes anything, but it was just an interesting thing that she, and obviously now we know the difference is that like Kanye doesn't have his, you know, as much of a say in her public persona.
So much for Jackie Goldschneider's pizza and ice cream.
Here's an imperfect photo.
So much for it.
It's not even properly centered. And you have North and her friend like doing a climb on a bridge with helmets. And here they are standing in pajamas.
Her friend Jessica Simpson's daughter.
Yeah, with her friend Jessica Simpson's daughter. Like, who else are they going to hang out with? But like, look, it's just like three girls in their little rock climbing gear, a blurry pic with red eye of them in their little tents. It just seems so not what Kim Kardashian has ever posted. It just feels like a peek into real life. Here, literally, this is just nature. Just a fucking nature photo.
She's been to Staten Island now. So she, you know, she's a different person.
Well, okay, totally.
I, like, wish
she's not.
Like,
she just like she potentially different. Maybe she is reaching that like pre-crazy fame. Like she said it before on the show that like she doesn't need to go further up. So like,
where's she gonna go?
So she's done a lot of like the stuff. Kanye would like do very extravagant, crazy
this
gestures.
This is extravagant.
No.
This
gestures.
Is extravagant.
So her relationship with Pete is like,
extravagant,
it's like the little
like,
things.
This is who she
it's
is.
Like, it's like the reminder of being like, we're just humans at the end of the day. So like her relationship with him. So potentially this is coming from that inspiration, but there's zero thing down to earth about this.
I think she knows what she's doing. She still chose to post the private plane. So like she could have just posted the pictures of the kids on the skyline. She still knows what she's doing. I don't think that this is like, oh, Kim is so down to earth now.
Oh my God, absolutely whatever. Not. She's like, not down to earth. No one's
Kim doesn't care about the finer things.
No. It's more about how she presented it.
Did you see the episode where she like gets on her plane for the first time is hilarious. Like she's just like, oh, you know, it would be so good for this plane. And it's like an all beige plane. Matching Skims PJs. Like, no, there's no down to earth at all.
It's not about down to earth. It's about the like
very
aesthetic.
Non-curated. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the imperfection in it that you never see from her.
Chloe did just get in trouble for photoshopping True at Disney World, right? So maybe she's just trying to prove
not
that
just photoshopping, like literally putting her in the picture.
Yeah,
she,
that's
like,
what
she
I'm saying.
She wasn't there.
So maybe this is like a reaction to that. Like, not I post everything. And I'm posting it like in a non-photoshopped way.
Maybe.
I bet you she's trying to like get with the change in Instagram. You know, like how Instagram isn't like all, you know, pretty curated.
She's into
stuff.
Photo dumps like a year later.
She's after. Dumping. She's dumping too late.
Yeah, I think, yeah, she's like a year behind on that. Did you hear the lawsuit against Skakin is allowed to go through?
Skakin?
It is.
Against who?
Her new skincare line is allowed to go through. So because there's already a company called Skakin. I believe it is a Black-owned business and they're suing her for taking the name. I think the last thing that happened was the judge said that the
lawsuit
could proceed. Yeah.
And Kim's lawyer said, we'll look forward to, you know, presenting our case.
Yeah.
Which is funny because her originally Skims was a different name. What was that called?
Kimono.
Kimono.
And people calls it out for being like appropriation.
Yeah.
Don't people do like a trademark search for any of this stuff?
I don't know.
Before they pick the company
you would
name?
Think.
I don't really understand this whole thing. Like we do that. We don't have half of the funds of a Kim Kardashian business venture. Like to me, that's like business 101.
We have like a coin purse compared to Kim Kardashian's business.
Do a trademark search. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Help you don't even need money to do that. You just need Google.
I mean, yeah. So
Kaylee too. I don't understand. Just do a trademark search.
What happened with Kaylee?
Road is already taken. But here's the thing.
Really?
Like, maybe they decide they don't care.
I mean, Rhode Island.
That's the messed up part. I'm saying, if it's like, if you didn't know, that's one thing. You have a team that looks in. I don't think Kaylee's doing the Google searching, but like,
well, maybe they did know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Kim's lawyer's name is Michael Rhodes.
It's after, well, him.
Maybe they know and they're like, you know what? It'll be. But then why would you even start designing for a name you knew was taken? But maybe they're just like, we don't care because it's not that expensive for us to fight this and we'll win.
I mean, Skin is, for them. Is a difficult name to pronounce, to be honest.
I would have not gone with that, frankly.
I wouldn't have either. And I actually, Skims is a way better name anyway, like for her, because the word Kim is in it.
Skims is a great name. Of that. And because it like, it slims, skims.
Skin. It's like your skin.
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
Speaking of tacky stuff on social media, did you guys watch last night's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going on Mention It All right after this.
I was too busy finishing The Summer I Turned Pretty.
I just thought it was so tacky the way she talked about the wildfires and how she was saving her Birkins and her Banksys. And I was just like, ugh, this show is so fucking tacky. It's just like,
ew, she says ugh. That.
Yeah. And she's like, here's a picture of me loading my car up with all of my Birkins and all of my Banksys and all of my stuff when the wildfires were happening. Like, isn't it so funny? It's like, no, it's not funny. A lot of people have like actual stuff like that they were photos. Running. Yeah. Like she's starting to annoy me.
I only liked her the first episode. And then after that, I have not enjoyed her at all.
Well, the things I had read about her prior weren't great. I was going to give her a chance. And I just feel like she is so out of touch with, like, I don't think she's used to having to interact with equals almost. Like, I think she's only used to being surrounded by people who sort of like take care of things for her and worship her. And that's why she is so obnoxious and unable to handle like normal interactions. And she like threw herself into jellyfish so she could like go home.
But she is like friends with like Elton John, for example, or like Neil Patrick Harris. Like they posted about her.
What is I agree with that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is like she's not like above.
Are they photographed in BFA pictures? Like what is it?
No, no, no. They posted for her. Like they Elton John made a post about how excited he is to see his friend Diana. And so did Neil Patrick Harris.
Maybe she has a bad edit.
Maybe we don't know what they're really
maybe
like.
Maybe those people suck too. Who knows?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We don't know
Yeah. I mean, she is so out of touch. Like you're on a fucking TV show. And at the same time though, like all of the, like everybody needs some sort of fucking story. They need to play up something that makes them feel relatable in some way. Like that's what they all try to find something.
Yeah. It seems like they're trying to like use their tragedies as an excuse for why they behave a certain way.
There's an authentic way to do something and an inauthentic way to do something. And I think very few of them are good at the authentic way of doing it.
Beverly Hills.
Ready to redefine your relationship with alcohol? Whether you're trying to cut back or just want to explore a non-alcoholic alternative, Athletic Brewing is a game changer. They offer a variety of different full-flavored brews with no alcohol, allowing you to sip and celebrate anytime and anywhere. Do you like hazy IPAs, sweet, fruity sours? Athletic Brewing has an assortment of non-alcoholic beers in almost any style you can think of. One thing I really like is a great Sunday brunch. And sometimes, you know, you kind of want to have a drink during it. But also it's Sunday and you kind of want to get your life together. That's the perfect occasion to have an Athletic Brew non-alcoholic beer. Athletic brews a variety of great-tasting, award-winning non-alcoholic beers, including IPAs, Goldens, Extra Dark Brews, Sours, Hazies, and more, many of which are only available online and for a limited time. They offer hassle-free delivery right to your door when you order at athleticbrewing.com. Athletic Brews Bevs you can drink anytime, anywhere, and still go right back to whatever you were doing. It's a great fit for parenting, playing sports, watching sports, doing chores, late nights, and early mornings, so you can imbibe without worry. And when you support Athletic, you support a company that cares. They're a certified B Corp and donate up to $2 million annually to protect and restore outdoor spaces around the globe through the Two for the Trails program. Try Athletic Brewing non-alcoholic beers for yourself. Use code BETCHES to get 15% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. That's BETCHES. At checkout for 15% off your first order. Near beer. Exclusions and conditions apply. Athletic Brewing Company. Fit for all times.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There's no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. So it's no big deal if you lose a button, spill something, or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BETCHES20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BETCHES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, and use code BETCHES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Speaking of Beverly Hills, I talked about this with Sammy on our Back for Sec DST Back for Seconds, our like premium subscription podcast. But I saw Kathy. So we all flew on different flights. I flew on a different flight than Jordana and Sammy home from California. And lo and behold, Kathy Hilton was on my flight. And I was just staring at her the whole fucking time. My flight was delayed, like, I don't know, how many hours? Like 9 hours? No.
Yeah, you were supposed to leave at 2 and you left at what?
I left at like 9:30.
10. Okay.
9:30. And when I got to the airport, I was supposed to be boarding at 8. Or something, and I get to my gate, and there instead of being like we're about to board, they are like, oh, actually, we're about to we're handing out refreshments, and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm gonna be here for a really long time. They're giving me snacks.
Yeah, that's when you know it's bad.
So I go up to the front gate, the front. I was like, did I miss something? Like, I want to know. I missed all the announcements because I wasn't here, and I was really like gonna be like, oh, like I had my like, you know, angry girl hat on. But in that same moment, I noticed next to me, Kathy Hilton was doing the exact same thing to the other agent. And I was like, holy shit, I forgot everything I was about to say to that one. I was like, oh, thank you so much. And then I just go and like, look at Kathy Hilton. But yeah, she was hilarious to watch. She was just walking around the airport. Like, she had like a monogram bag. And like, you didn't even believe me, Jordana, that it was her. Because
I thought she would be flying private.
I did too. I was confused, but maybe that's why she was so mad.
Maybe something happened. Yeah. Well, she was probably so mad because she was on your original 2 p.m. flight.
Well, that definitely.
This is also notoriously a bad weekend for flying from, I mean, our flights thankfully left on time, not to brag, but apparently like Delta had canceled a ton of flights last weekend.
It was like a pilot shortage.
Do you know Bernie Sanders wants airlines to have to pay, to have to refund flights that are delayed for an hour and fine airlines like $55,000 a passenger for canceling flights that they like knew they couldn't staff?
I think that's a good idea.
I think it'd be great.
I love that idea.
See,
because
I'd be delayed for an hour for a full refund.
I do feel like post-pandemic is just, I'm constantly being jerked around by all these airlines. They're just like, they're putting up flights. They don't think they can actually run, so that you're now bought in. And then by the time they cancel it, and they put you on a whatever other flight that you didn't really want, it's too late for you to buy a ticket with another airline because at this point it's much more expensive. It's like, It is very manipulative, and
Bernie,
I'm into that.
We are behind you, Bernie.
The Betches are into this plan.
If the Democrats want to win in November, refunds for flights delayed more than 1 hour.
I think it's like it's a manipulative business practice to put up a flight that you're not sure you can run. And it's a lot of people. It's not one person. It's like 200 people that are affected by it. And it's a huge pain in the ass. So
I agree. And it's not just like people are traveling for leisure. People travel for real emergencies, real needs. Mm-hmm.
People have kids they need to get home to. Not us, but other people like Aileen.
Aileen does.
No, I or didn't. I was really stressed
agent,
out.
If you tell the agent that you have kids to get home to.
I've done that.
I was really stressed about that. And I was like waiting forever to talk to a Delta like person like on the phone before when my flight kept getting delayed. And I was like, can you give me like a status of like, is this flight going to get canceled? She's like, I don't have that information. I'm like, do you have a manager that can get that information? She goes, this is as much information as that I could help you with.
Because yeah. They don't know. Like, that's the thing.
Like, oh, no. This is what they said. They said, we can't help you there. You have to go talk to an agent at the airport. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking airport and then sit there for 5 hours.
Right. Why would you do that? It's just like messed up. People have kids. People have jobs that they need to get back to attend. People have other important people they need to take care of, other responsibilities.
Also, I'm sure people are flying for like medical treatments, for things for their kids. Like they're not flying. People don't. Generally, I think more people fly because they need to than they want to. That's a random statement. I don't know if that's true.
Based on no data.
Anecdotal. Based on not your own experience.
Except your experience, yeah.
But I do think that like thinking of all the flights that are going on, business travel, necessities, family stuff, it's not all vacations. Most people are not taking more than one vacation a year, if even one. So it's like, flights are still going.
Yeah. I need to understand the business model behind all these airlines, but...
Should we start an airline? Do you guys think? Three batch airlines? What would we offer? Never canceled.
Free never seat choices.
The whole thing is no broken Delta TVs. Premium Select. You get cable in the air, free Wi-Fi with streaming. You don't need to buy the additional package.
Wider seats.
I think the seats... The uniform seat should be what the seats are for Delta Premium Select, which is a middle ground between Delta One and Comfort Plus. And it helps you recline like, you can recline, you guys can't see, but you're reclining like a, I don't know what angle would you call that?
At the 45? Same time though, it is very bad for the environment to have less people flying on one flight.
We'll make the bigger planes then.
How many less people?
I don't know. Again, I have no data.
Fine. We'll do the same amount of people, never canceled, overhaul of the whole snack situation. I want new snacks. I don't want any of this like Biscoff crap. I hate that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oreos.
We'd have to have a meeting partnership to discuss with Oreo. The new snacks.
Oreos.
What if there was like premium content?
I would love a banana.
I would love fresh fruit.
Yes.
Yes. Give me some produce that hasn't gone bad.
A smoothie?
Oh, yeah, open
an in-flight smoothie. Right?
An in-flight, like everybody gets their own magic bullet.
Make your own.
It's like inserted into your seat. You know where they used to have the phones? They now have a magic bullet thing that you just like press down. And
can you imagine falling asleep and then all of a sudden you're awoken by your neighbor's magic bullet?
It'll be the new everywhere. They forgot to close it.
It'll be the new reclining your seat. I think the moving company is probably more investable, although still not investable.
Wait, speaking of the planes, did you guys see that some airline, I can't remember, was it Virgin maybe, are making like these like nap pods for economy?
Oh, I saw that. I like that.
That's what I'm saying. Be nap pods.
Why would I don't want to share a napping station with somebody like.
How's it different than sharing a seat? Like sharing a 3-row seat where you're sitting up napping?
I don't know. You're laying down. You're drooling.
But
maybe they changed the sheets in between. They could probably have a disposable thing.
Why don't they just make bigger seats? Like, why don't they just all be bigger like Comfort planes. Plus level? Like, or you could do double
maybe
decker
planes that requires
of
more
all Comfort Plus
fuel.
I also think they should have a rule on Three Batches Air where everyone is seated unless it's your row's turn. Sit down until it's your row's turn. I get very anxious when everyone's standing.
I think we need to consult within aviation engineering.
They tell you not to stand. Like, I don't
Everyone
think
stands. This will be strictly enforced. You get no blender.
I like
on the
to stand.
You get no NutriBullet on the next
I
flight
like
if
to
you stand.
Stand because I fit under vertically, under the head thing, and my
under
butt really hurts after sitting for so long.
Are you talking about at the end or before?
At the end, she's talking about.
Oh, at the end. Okay.
I stand maybe you're in like, my seat area.
Maybe your seatbelt will not unbuckle until your rest.
I don't really wear a seatbelt.
My
I don't
God.
Either. No one sees.
Such rebels.
I just feel like if the plane goes down, the seatbelt's not going to help me. Or if it does, if the plane goes down, I'll put the seatbelt on. When the plane's going down.
I just can't think of anything more useless than a seatbelt on an airplane.
I don't know. Did you guys see that movie with Liam Neeson and he like has a... this plane crashes in the Arctic or whatever and he like puts on like three seatbelts and like lies down.
Was it really old?
No. I mean, what is old?
The 90s.
No. I don't know why I saw this movie. I really did not enjoy it. But it was, yeah. It seemed to be that the seatbelts did save him.
All right, fine. If the plane is, the plane seems like it's on the way, it's things are looking bad, I'd put on the seatbelt. I also don't understand why you have to be fully upright when the plane is landing or taking off. That doesn't really seem like that would make that big of a difference.
Do you know what I think? I think that, I don't know why taking off, but I think landing, I think it's that the flight attendants want them to be up so that after it's faster for them, they don't have to put all the seats up.
That's an interesting point.
On my flight, like people were like, it was in the middle of the night, like the LA time. So when we were landing, it was, people were still asleep and they were still reclined. And the flight attendant like was walking around. She goes, look, when we were already really close everybody to descending, she was like, what is going on, guys? Pick up your seats. Like, this is so unsafe. This is so unsafe. Like, she was really upset.
Is
she
kept that saying unsafe? This is so unsafe. I think you probably could have landed normally. And well, it's like, funny. Sammy right, was in lady. Front of me and I got to watch the flight attendant wake her up. Oh, they definitely, yeah. They each definitely have their own method. Do you know what I mean?
Did she like, shake you?
No, I think it well, was
she
like a,
she really leaned over and she, I think they have a certain pat. I mean, I wasn't on your physical body, so I didn't feel physical, but I saw her like she was using, you know, she was trying. She definitely has a method. You definitely has, you know, if you're a flight attendant, I'm sure.
Yeah, because that could definitely result in some like sexual harassment shit if they don't use the right.
She's method. Not getting in there with you.
No. But like, if you think about it, like, let's say other situations. That could be uncomfortable. People don't like to be woken up.
I don't want to be touched.
Yeah.
Well, how else are they going to wake you up? Scream in your ear.
They should get like a pokey.
What I did learn, though, is that they have systems to know if your seats are up. You think you're like, how can they tell that the seat isn't fully up?
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they have lights that indicate that it's up. I never realized that.
I mean, obviously, like if they know where you're beeping from, like if you call like the flight attendant button.
Well, no, there's a light above your head that goes on.
They have the flight attendant button, but if you click it, they get really mad.
Yeah, they don't want to
I've never seen someone come over from pressing that, being
what
like,
do you
how can
fucking
they'd
want?
Be like, you press the button, right? What's going on?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you need me to fluff your pillow?
Yeah, I only press the button in real dire straits.
I raise my hand. I get the contact. I get eye contact and I go, excuse me.
The button should have a note on it that's like, really, really?
Yeah. Are you sure you want to press this? Also, I'll like go, if I want like water or something and it's not too crowded, I'll like just go get it. I'll just go ask for it. Like
right.
In the galley.
Take a nice walk.
I think they prefer that.
I don't know if they prefer you in their private space.
That's where the bathroom is.
No, like past that.
No, it's. I mean, it depends on the plane. Again, totally, the three batch plane will have a private area for our flight attendants. We're gonna make this a pleasant
maybe we could
experience.
Be the flight attendants.
Yeah.
No, fuck no, I don't like flying.
That seems. You want to be button pressed? You want the button pressed for you?
I think in the beginning it would be fun, and then
well, maybe
the
inaugural flight will be the attendants. But I do think it is key. Flight attendant life is fucking hard.
You'd probably like it, Sammy. You get to go everywhere. You get to travel.
I don't like planes.
You have to, like,
I like
live
hotels.
In the airport.
The thing I like about travel is the hotels.
You could be in the ultra first class cabin, like the one upstairs.
Sure, but like honestly, like I that. Really prefer to be on land. And
I agree.
So remember that girl Tara who was a flight attendant? So she, you know, she always I still follow her. She always posts about like flight attendant life. It is so hard to be a flight attendant. So I feel like it would be really important that we have a good situation for our attendants that make the flight pleasant. Like they should have their own area. They should have their own situation. No buttons. It should be like something nicer than a button.
Okay. Something nicer than a button.
Well, something less annoying to them, you know?
What
maybe
would be
you text
less annoying?
Them. Maybe you text.
Oh, a texting. I like that.
Maybe it's like you can have it on your screen. It's like, do you want water? Do you want ice? Do you want a snack? Do you want an eye mask? And it's like you could just press those things. And then if you have a really complicated request.
Do you need your NutriBullet cleaned?
If you have a complicated request, like my NutriBullet is flying everywhere. You can text them that.
There's smoothie all over the plane. We have to work on some kinks in
get
the
these
three
batches. Motherfucking
there.
Smoothies on this motherfucking plane.
Well, anyway, guys, we solved the airline crisis, and I'm very proud of us. But we'll be back next week.
Check us out, our three batch airlines, and get your smoothie.
And you can follow at Betches on at Betches. You can follow me at Jordana Abraham.
I'm at Sammy.
And I'm at Aileen. Guys, leave us a review. We'd really love to see what you guys think. Maybe not of the airline ideas, but just...
We haven't fished it out fully yet. Not ready for reviews.
This is preliminary ideas. This is just the brainstorm sesh. Yeah, definitely send us feedback, but please leave us 5 stars. Leave us a review. We love doing this show. We love doing it just together, and it's just really fun hour. And if you love it too, leave us a 5-star review. It makes a really big difference for us. And it's not just us doing the show. We have a team of producers. We have Sean here listening, editing everything. So those reviews, again, are not just for us. So if you love the show, please leave us a review and subscribe, follow on Apple or Spotify, and talk to you next week on the At Betches podcast.
At Betches is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Be sure to follow At Betches on Instagram and send us your emails to podcast@betches.com. Betches.